This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Last year, we asked you to begin sharing with us questions about things you've always wondered about or that make you curious. Over the last 12 months, you've asked us several times, why's that? Questions about names, landmarks, and even Kalamazoo's water have been asked. Every month, WMUK reporter Sevilla Mann picks one of those questions and seeks the answer in Why's That? Sevilla, thanks for being here.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So explain the history of Why's That?
A couple of years ago, we heard about a really neat project that was going on out of Chicago at WBEZ Public Radio. And the thing that they were doing there was they were going to listeners and asking them to send questions about anything they saw in Chicago that might make an interesting radio story. It could be a strange building. It could be a weird sign. It's hard to think of all the examples, but it's worth checking out if you go to Curious City, even if you don't live in Chicago. These questions are so intriguing. They're of interest to everybody. What WBEZ was saying at the time was, this is working really well for us. And the people who came up with that project said, we think this could be a neat project for other radio stations as well. And so the basic model is pretty simple. You're just soliciting questions and then going out and producing them. And it gives you a way to just have radio stories that you might not have thought of yourself, but that turn out to be really interesting.
What types of questions do you see come across often?
We get a lot of questions about names, street names, rail yard names. Names are often a good jumping off point, it seems, for a good story. We had a question about the village of Vicksburg, which used to be known as Brady back in the day sometimes, and then went back to being Vicksburg. So names are a big one. We've had some really good local history questions about historic houses, about paper mills, and then a few on the more scientific or environmental issues side. And I'll mention trains, too. Trains have been a point of interest. We've got a lot of trains in Kalamazoo, and people come across them and they have questions about them.
Does there seem to be a certain type of question which works best when you decide that not only is it interesting, but it's something that will lead to an interesting story for air?
The interesting thing about the questions is that it's hard to tell sometimes which ones will lead to the best story. You get questions that are clever in and of themselves. So, for example, we had a question from a listener who had noticed, this was a really subtle observation, a series of streets in the West Main area, Arlington, Berkeley, Clarendon, and Dartmouth streets. So those are ABC streets. I don't know if I would have noticed that on my own, but there's another twist, which is that this listener had been to Boston and had noticed that there was the same sequence of streets in Boston, the exact same order. And that seemed like it had to be more than coincidence, and it turned out that it was. The person who developed this neighborhood in Kalamazoo was a big developer in Boston, and that's how these streets came to have the same names as these streets in Boston's Back Bay. So that was a question right there where as soon as it came in, I said, well, we've got to do that one. We've got to know how these streets came to have this order of names. But that said, sometimes you get a question that's a very simple question, and there's still a really good story underneath it. And that was the case with a question that our colleague Rebecca Thiel asked, and she asked it for a promo for Why's That last summer. We weren't even sure we were ever going to answer it. It was kind of put out as an example. This is the kind of thing you can ask for Why's That. But her question was about West Main Park, which if you've seen it is a postage stamp of a park off of West Main Street. And it's so small that Rebecca's question was very skeptical. What she said was, how is that a park? Now, you might not think that would lead to a really interesting story, but it did.
Any train that came along, you're supposed to put the gates down so that the cars or the horses and buggies couldn't go through. Well, he went to supper at about 6 o'clock.
He says the gatekeeper intended to go back to work at 7 when another train was scheduled to come through.
But this was a special move by this engine, and so he had no advance notice that it was coming, so he was at home. Right here on the corner having supper.
After the accident, Mike says the gatekeeper packed up his things and moved to Oshtemo, where he later became a farmer.
What you've got there is WMUK's Rebecca Thiel talking to Graydon Mintz, a railroad historian, about the origins of West Main Park. It turns out it's there because of a really awful train accident that happened at that site. The gate was supposed to be down. Back then, you had to put the gate down by hand. The person in charge of putting that gate down didn't put it down because he didn't realize that train was coming along. He lived right there at what's now West Main Park. And so after this accident, in which I think five people died, it was a streetcar that the train hit, the gatekeeper decided to leave the railroad, and he sold the land to the city as a park. And so that's why we have a tiny park on West Main Street, and the story is much deeper than I thought it would go. And that one has gotten a lot of attention online, especially. I think people are also interested to know that there's more to that park than they might have thought.
So that's a couple examples there that you just gave us of kind of local history, how these streets got named, how this little park came to be. But people can ask about any number of things. Is there a story that maybe that you can tell us about which is about something a little more current?
Sure. We've had a few stories that were more about current issues. And so while we've done a lot of local history, and I hope we'll do more of those, I also hope we'll do more of these stories that are maybe more science-oriented or more about something that's going on now. And so a question that we had earlier this year, and this is something that I think everybody in Kalamazoo has probably asked themselves at some point is, why is the water the way it is around here? Why is it so hard? You know, if you're always scraping that white crust off your appliances or your shower or whatever, you might wonder about that. So for this question, we got to go to the water plant. We went to the plant at the Central Well Field south of downtown Kalamazoo. And the person who showed it to me was John Paquin of the Public Services Department. So this is me and John at the water plant.
I'll kind of walk you through, shout a little bit when needed.
Inside the water plant, Paquin points out the air stripper, a big white cylinder at least two stories high that removes trace contaminants left by an old dry cleaners in the area.
If you look up through there, you can see how high it goes.
The water gets chlorinated. It gets fluoridated. But the city does not take out the minerals. We'll talk about why in a bit. How did calcium and magnesium get in the water in the first place? Well, and if you're wondering how calcium and magnesium got in the water, in a nutshell, it's because tens of thousands of years ago, some glaciers pushed some very mineral-rich rocks down here, and they sit there, and the water sits on them, and so we have hard water. And the city doesn't soften the water because it would be very expensive. So that's what we found out, and why is that about why the water is so hard?
There are times, I'm sure, that when you set out to do these, you probably have a pretty good idea of what the answer is going to be. But even with that, is there still a moment of surprise, or are there moments when something comes up that just make the journey worth it because you find out something that you just could not have imagined when you started to answer the question?
There have been a lot of moments like that, and that's one of the real privileges of getting to produce this show. I should add, too, that as much as possible with these Why's That questions, we try to bring the person who asked the question along to as many interviews as possible, and that way they can ask questions, and it's a bit of a collaboration. So I hope that we're sharing those moments. One thing I can think of is the story that we had with the ABC streets in Kalamazoo Township, the ones that turned out to be named for streets in Boston, was when this development was going in, I think at the very turn of the 20th century, the people who were developing the subdivision were trying to promote it, and they held a contest for the prettiest mother and baby. You remember that one?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you do that now, but they did that then. That was something that we came across in old newspaper archives, so that was a surprise. We did a story about Kalamazoo's history with paper mills, and we went to the last paper mill in the city of Kalamazoo, which is quite a substantial mill, Graphic Packaging International's mill. And seeing that paper machine was incredible. It's 3 football fields long. It was so big, I just still think about it sometimes. So that was a surprise. And then I'd say with our story that we did about Teapot Dome, that was another one where it was full of surprises. So this Teapot Dome story, we had a listener who had seen a sign near a crossing a few miles west of Pawpaw on the Red Arrow Highway, and it just says Teapot Dome. And our listener, John Mayers, wanted to know what it referred to because it wasn't obvious. He thought maybe it was talking about something geographical, you know, a bump there in the elevation. It turns out this crossing got its name Teapot Dome from a business that was founded there in the 1920s, and it was named after the Teapot Dome scandal. And I won't go into everything that I learned about the Teapot Dome scandal in the course of researching this, but basically it was oil leases for bribes in Warren Harding's administration. So Teapot Dome, the business that was founded there west of Pawpaw, was a gas station, among other things, when it opened. The business is still there. It's not a gas station anymore. It's a restaurant. So, of course, we had to go see the restaurant, our listener and I did. And so while we were there, I was chatting with Joan and Roy Miller, and they were waiting for breakfast. And I asked them if they'd thought about the name or heard of the Teapot Dome scandal. And Joan told me, yes, she's heard of the Teapot Dome scandal. And here's why.
Because the great elementary school I went to in Northwest Indiana was after the worst, most corrupt president in history, and it was named Harding Elementary.
And they talked about the scandal all the time there, didn't they?
That's Joan Miller and Roy Miller there at the end at the Teapot Dome restaurant.
Once a question's been submitted, you kind of look them over, you decide which one you're going to answer that month, and then what happens? What's the process of actually answering the question?
Once a question is submitted and then we pick one and we decide how we're going to go out and do it, the first thing I do is reach out to the person who asked the question, because we really do try to include that person as much as possible. You know, sometimes people are busy and they can't make it to all these interviews, and that's okay. You don't have to be that available to ask a question. We'd like to have the question even if you can't come to any interviews. We just, at least at that point, we try to meet at the beginning, collect the question, and then we always return at the end to say, did we answer your question? So hopefully we're producing that question with the person who asked it. We try to get a handle on how much research we're looking at. Some of these Why Is That's come together in a few days. Some of them take quite a bit of research. Teapot Dome, for example, I spent a good amount of time with a microfilm reader in Van Buren County just trying to get an idea of some specifics related to that. We don't mind doing lots of research. We enjoy that, but it's helpful to have an idea of how much of it you're looking at. You don't always know in advance. For example, with our question about the origins of Vicksburg's name, it turned out that it would be very helpful to have a look at the county supervisor's minutes from the meeting where Vicksburg was incorporated. Well, we went down to the county building. It turns out those minutes have been misplaced. You know, people don't come in all the time asking for the 1870s book of supervisors' minutes. So I'm sure it's there somewhere, but that was a surprise. We spent a little bit more time calling around trying to see if some library or some organization had this book, and we just weren't finding it. So we try to get an idea of that. We travel to the places we need to go to put the story together. Usually there's some kind of a site or a place involved. So, you know, with the ABC streets, for example, we go out there and see them. So that's always an aspect of it. We do all of that, and eventually we have all the pieces together, and we just try to put them together in a story that's interesting.
How does someone submit their question if there is something that they have always wondered about?
Well, you can get your question to us any way you want. You know, we can always mention carrier pigeons as an option, but we've made it easy also. If you don't have any pigeons, there's a box on our website. There's a box on the front page, as a matter of fact, on WMUK.org. You can always submit the question at whyisthat.wmuk.org. There will always be a box there where you can type in your question. So that's the way to do it. And if you're wondering what kind of questions we're looking for, really the only overarching constraint is we're looking for things that relate in some way to the Southwest Michigan experience. So something that ties into the region, but that still leaves many, many things that you can talk about. We're looking for questions that we can answer, or at least try to answer. So there has to be some genuine question there. You know, occasionally we get a, why is X or Y terrible, or why is this person such an awful individual? Right. And not saying that's a bad question, but it's probably not one we can produce for Why Is That. It's a little too subjective. But the big message is, whatever your question is, we want to hear it. We want to hear from you. It's not a matter of having a really cool sounding question. Sometimes it can be a really basic question, and it's the tip of a very interesting story. So we hope you'll send us your questions at whyisthat.wmuk.org or by carrier pigeon if you prefer.
Thank you, Sevilla.
Thanks, Gordon.
WMUK reporter Sevilla Mann produces Why's That? It airs once a month on WMUK. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.